Now, if you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. What Paul is saying in verse 19, "My little children, of whom I travail," speaking of a woman giving birth to a child, travail. He said, "I travail, labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you." I want you to know Christ. This was his desire for himself. He talked about all his religious heritage and his religious accomplishments, and he said, "I count these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." Salvation is not in tradition, it's in Christ. Salvation is not in religion, it's in Christ. Salvation is not in our works, our own merit, it's in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Christ in you. A living, personal union with Christ Jesus. Everything God has for the sinner is in Christ. And it's ours through a union with Christ. He said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the head, you're the body." And what somebody wrote a song one time, said, where the head is, the body's not far behind. And this is Paul's prayer for these people. He said, "I want Christ to be formed in you, in you. I want you to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal." That's my desire. And he said in verse 20, "I desire to be present with you now. I'm troubled about you. And I wish I could speak to every one of you down there in the churches in Galatia." There were several churches down there. He said, "I wish I could be there, and I'd change my voice. I'd speak a little more strongly, harshly to you, because I stand in doubt about you." And here's a solemn, searching question that he asked in verse 21. He said, tell me, I want to know. Tell me, I'd like to know. I'm really amazed, I marvel. I do not understand your thinking. I don't understand it. Tell me, just tell me. You that are bent on being under the law, you that desire to be under the law, any law, you that desire to be under some kind of religious law or tradition for acceptance with God, this is what he's saying, for righteousness, you that desire to be under any law, tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law, any law? I don't care what law it is. If a man or a woman is seeking acceptance with God, favor with God, righteousness before God, he's seeking acceptance. He's seeking some kind of fellowship with God, some kind of approval from God. And he's doing it based on any law, any rule, any requirement, any regulation of religion or whatever. Any law. Do you not hear the law? Do you not hear what's required in the law? For example, the moral law with its 10 commandments. Do you not hear that law? I was in the hospital one time visiting an individual, and we were talking about God and the gospel, salvation. Well, this man said, "Well, I'll tell you, if we're going to get there, we're going to get there by keeping the 10 commandments. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, do you keep them?" "Well," he says, "pretty tough, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it's pretty tough." You didn't answer my question. "No," but he said, "if we're going to get there, it's going to be by keeping the 10 commandments. Now, wait a minute, the 10 commandments. And I could stand up here and recite them for you. Most of you know them. But our Lord didn't recite them, he interpreted them. He defined them. And he said, "Now you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." And we have all the bleeding hearts today. They're talking about thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. War is wrong. Thou shalt not kill. But our Lord said this. He said, "But I say unto you." You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Well, most of us Well, just about all of us here this morning could say, well, I'm not guilty of that one. I've never killed anybody. I've never killed anybody. But our Lord said, I say unto you, to hate, to despise, to wish ill in your heart against any person is to be guilty already of murder. Yes, you have killed somebody. Even these little boys and girls. Yes, you have. Now, I know you little rascals. You can get awful angry. And if looks could kill, it'd be some dead folks at your feet. And if hearts could kill, it'd be some dead folks. So we're guilty of that law. Do you not hear the law? And then he said, thou hast heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I look over the congregation, I'm sure about half the people here real piously would say, well, I've always been true to my wife or true to my husband. I've never committed adultery. And some of the single people here say, well, I've never committed adultery or fornications either one. But the Lord Jesus said, I say unto you, but I say unto you, this is the full interpretation, the spiritual interpretation. Do you not hear that law? Christ said to look with lust or imagination or desire is to be guilty already. You're already guilty of adultery in God's sight. He said, thou hast heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not swear by the temple and so forth. I say unto you, swear not at all. But let your yea be what? Yea. In other words, tell the truth. Absolute, unquestioned truth. Unexaggerated truth. There's nobody here who always speaks the truth. Not anybody here. We wouldn't have a friend left. How you like my hair, honey? It's beautiful. You know how that goes. We wouldn't have a friend left. There's nobody. So this is what Paul is saying here. Tell me. Come on. I'm interested. Tell me. You that desire to be under the law, don't you hear it? Don't you hear the law? The Word of God says that if we live by the law, it must be a perfect obedience. Perfect. The Word of God says in Deuteronomy, to be accepted, it must be what? Perfect. Without flaw. And he that offendeth in one point of the law, just one little iota, is guilty of the whole law of God. That's true. Well, the Levitical law. I have people today who are interested in keeping another Sabbath, the Lord's Day, Sunday, making a Sabbath out of it. Over in England, I ran into LDOS. It's a new organization, Lord's Day Observance Society. They're going to shut everything down and shut everybody up. And we're going to walk so far on Sunday. We're going to go certain places on Sunday. We're going to do certain things. We're going to institute us another Sabbath and call it Sunday. That's exactly what they do. Well, let me tell you this. Christ is my Sabbath. Christ is my rest. And every day is God's day. Tomorrow is Monday, but tomorrow is the day the Lord hath made. And I'll rejoice and be glad therein. And whether I'm in this, I'll be in the pulpit tomorrow night somewhere down in West Virginia. And some of you will be hearing the words, but tomorrow's the Lord's day as far as I'm concerned. Tomorrow's His day. And I'll glorify Christ. And I'm going to live the same way tomorrow I'm living today. And Tuesday. I was holding a meeting down in Mississippi. And Little Rock, Mississippi. Little country church down there, been down there twice. And the pastor showed me the hymn book, the church hymn book. This is one in the pew, right there like in yours. And he turned a certain page. He said, look at that song. And the title of the song was, Ain't It a Shame? Ain't It a Shame? And the words of the song went like this, Ain't It a Shame to cuss on Sunday? Ain't it a shame? Ain't it a shame to cuss on Sunday when you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? That's a fact. And it went on, ain't it a shame to gamble on Sunday? Ain't it a shame when you got Monday, Tuesday? And this is the attitude of some of these Sabbatarians. But I'm telling you this, and the way I feel about it, and God will direct His people in all their behavior. But some of you this afternoon won't go see Granny. You go see Granny. She needs your visit. Some of you want to go see your mother this afternoon. Go see your mother. Some of you work 6 days this week. You got something to do today, do it. You're here to hear the word. You're here to worship God. Worship God tomorrow, too. Is that wrong? It's God's day. Every day is God's day. And Christ is my Sabbath. I've entered into a rest, a spiritual rest, a full rest, a heavenly rest in Christ Jesus. And I know, you say, you can't just turn people loose. You can turn them loose in the hands of God's Spirit. They're His children. They'll walk with Him. Right, John? They certainly will. But do you not hear the law? If you want under the sabbatical law, if you want under the law of fastings, and you can't pick up sticks today or yesterday. Yesterday was the day, Saturday. You've already blown it. Sabbath day, tithing, washings. That's right. If a person has leprosy or some disease, you're supposed to burn the couch he sat on yesterday. That's right. Burn the couch. If he drinks from this glass, we're supposed to break it. Isn't that right? I tell you, this law. Paul says, tell me. You that desire to be under the Levitical law, the Sabbath law, the tithing law, the fasting law, all these other laws, the washings, the diet. What did you eat this week? You better go back and check and see if you ate something unclean. You may have to go through some ceremonies here today. Do you not hear the law? And I'll tell you another one. What about the law of faith and love? I'll just give you the law of faith and love, church laws. God says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbors yourself. You want to be under that? That's the fulfillment of the whole law. That's the law of love. Christ said, this is my commandment. Now, Tom Harding, this is his commandment, that you love me like he loved me. That's pretty difficult, isn't it? I don't want under that law. For salvation. I want under that law. You know, in a relationship with Christ, but not for acceptance. I don't want any law, do you? For acceptance with God. I don't care how good it is, how pure it is, where it came from. I don't want under any law for justification, righteousness, sanctification, or acceptance by God Almighty. Because I cannot perfectly keep any rule in God's sight. I can't do it. Even the disciples, when they went up, hear our Lord struggling. He remembereth our frame. He knoweth it with dust. Don't you know that? He knows it. And the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, went up to the garden with our Lord when he was gone. He was being betrayed. He was being deserted. He was being denied. He was about to be crucified. And they went with him to pray. And he said, tarry here while I go yonder and pray. Here's the greatest moment in the history of this universe. The Son of God interceding in a priestly prayer for his people about to die for them. And the disciples went to sleep. Now you think, they went to sleep. They went to sleep. And he came over there and he said, oh, he said, couldn't you tarry with me even an hour? But he said, spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. So just sleep on and get your rest. We preachers ought to be that kind, shouldn't we? We ought to be that tender. Go on, get your rest. Get your rest. This God of this world, this Satan, has come and he's found nothing in me. I beat him. I defeated him alone. But you get your rest. Now then, verse 22. Now watch this. For. And this is along the same vein, you see, same line. It's a for there. Tell me, you that would be under the law, any law. I don't care what law it is. Well, Brother May, we're talking about Ten Commandments. I don't care what law you're talking about. Well, we're talking about the law of the home. I don't care what law you're talking about. We're talking about good established laws of this day for the church. I don't care what law you're talking about. If you would be under law for acceptance with God, righteousness, approval, do you not hear the law? Now here it is. Abraham had two sons. One by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. He who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. And he of the free woman was born by promise. Now what's the picture? Abraham is way up in years. 90 or 100. Way up in years, 90, about 90. Sarah was about 90. And Abraham, you can go back and read it, Genesis 15, 16, 17. Abraham went to God in prayer. And he said, God, Lord, I don't have an heir. I'm childless. Here I am, I don't have a son. I've got a servant, Eliezer, in my house, a good, faithful servant. Am I going to leave everything to him? You call me now. You said my seed would be as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. That's what you said when I left my father's house. You said I'd be a blessing to all nations. But I don't have a son. I don't have a child in my house. I've never had any children. Now, it's Eliezer. Is that who's going to be the heir through him? God said, no, Abraham. Oh, I wish we'd learned to wait on God. What's time to God? What's time to God? It doesn't matter whether Abraham's 90 or 19. God can do what God will do. But, oh, our impatience. And God said, Abraham, you'll have a son by Sarah. By Sarah, your wife. And you'll call his name Isaac. And you turn your eyes to the heaven. You see those stars? Count them. I can't count them. So shall your seed be. You turn your eyes to that seashore. Count the sand. I can't count them. So you, Isaac, Sarah, I promise you. Well, time went by. Some years passed. Abraham and Sarah, she's old, withered, gray, 90 years old. So is he. Womb is dead. In fact, when she heard the promise, she laughed. Sarah laughed. God got on her about it, too. But she came into Abraham one day, and she said to him, she said, well, just looks like we're going to have to help God out. That was the essence of it. She said, we still have no son. We still have no son. And she said, I tell you what, and I'm old, and I'm not getting any younger. I'm older and older. I'll tell you what, I have a handmaid named Hagar. A-G-A-R is H-A-G-A-R. Hagar, H-A-G-A-R. And she said, why don't you go into Hagar? And that'll see, God wants a people. And God wants to bless you. And God wants you to have an heir. And God wants you to have a seed. So we can do this, you know. Just take care of God's wants. And so a son was born. His name was Ishmael. Fine young man, born to Hagar, the handmaid. And he got about 13 to 14 years of age. And God said, Abraham was now 100 years old, a little over. And Sarah was approaching 100. And God said, Abraham, I told you you'd have a son by Sarah. And now the time's come, God's time. And a son was born. So he had two sons. One of them was by his will. Isn't that right? He willed it. He willed the birth of Ishmael. And he used the means. We're talking about you. He willed the birth of Israel and of Ishmael, and he had a son. The other son was born by God's will. Totally by God's will. Isn't that right? God willed it. And in God's time, in the fullness of time, that son was born. One son was born of the flesh, Ishmael. Wasn't that strictly a fleshly arrangement? Born of the flesh in the normal, natural way. That son was born of the flesh. The other boy, oh no, a miracle, a promise. He wasn't born of the flesh. He was born of a promise, a promise. This son was born by works. Abraham did it. Abraham and Hagar made this child. This child over here, no works entered in because Sarah wasn't able to bear a child. Strictly by the will of God. Isn't that right? So that's what, you know what it's saying here? Verse 22, it is written, Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, one by a free woman, and he of the bondmaid was born after the flesh. the will of man, the will of the flesh, the work of the flesh. He was born, right, Ronnie? Born of the flesh. The other was born what?
By promise.
By power. By the purpose of God. God willed it. God accomplished it. God did it contrary to all human help. There was, in fact, actually, not only was there no human help, but it was contrary to
human possibility. Sarah couldn't help. She couldn't help God. She didn't help God because she couldn't.
She couldn't. She didn't because she couldn't. All right, now hang on to your seat there. We're going to bring this to 1988. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? Paul the Apostle reaches back here to the life of Abraham and talks about Abraham had two sons, one of a bondwoman, one of a free woman, one born of his will, one born of God's will, one born of flesh, one born of promise, one born by the works of men, one born totally, completely, absolutely by the work of God. And he said, that's a picture. What's an allegory? Well, an allegory is taking people and things, real people, real things, and showing a meaning, a spiritual meaning. These people and things are symbolic. See, the Lord's table is an allegory in a way. The bread and the wine pictures Christ. And Sarah and Abraham and these two boys picture everybody here this morning. One of them does. That's right. It's an allegory. Well, he said these are the two covenants, the two testaments. One from Mount Sinai, which gendered the bondage. That's Hagar. The son born of the will of man, the works of man, the flesh of man, so forth. That's Hagar. And this Hagar in Mount Sinai in Arabia answer to Jerusalem right now, which is in bondage to her children. In other words, here it is. Watch this now. Listen to me. Ishmael was born of Abraham's own will. And he represents all of these denominations and churches and people today who are saved by their own free will. The will of man. How was Ishmael born? By Abraham's will. He willed it. Abraham and Sarah willed it. They said they were cooperating with God. They said they were helping God, but they willed it themselves. They willed the birth of Ishmael. And this is the gospel of man's will. We furnish God an heir by our will. God wants heirs, we'll give him heirs. God wants people, we'll give him people. God wants sons, we'll give him sons. God wants a kingdom, we'll give him a kingdom. Come down the aisle. Who will decide? Who will be a member of God's kingdom? Who will join God's kingdom? Who will accept Jesus? Who will be a son? Do you want to be a son? Come be a son. That's man's will. Isaac represents God's will. God willed the birth of Isaac. Now turn with me to John 1. Now listen to this. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, 12. But as many, listen to it, John 1, 12. As many as received him, to receive Christ, to them gave he the power, the right to become sons of God. Isaacs, sons of God, sons of promise, sons of heirship, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of natural genealogy. Let me tell you something. Ishmael was a son of Abraham just like Isaac was. Wrong mother. Wrong mother. And this thing's not of blood. You may be a son of God, but that doesn't mean Michael Jesse's a son of God. Because he's not saved by your blood, he's saved by Christ's blood. See what I'm saying? I hope he is. I pray he will, but that'd be by God's will. Not blood. It's not of the blood. Watch this. Not of the will of the flesh. Not of the will of man. But they're born of God. Isaac was born of God. Miracle. Miracle. Promise. Purpose. Ishmael was born by human will. Abraham willed it. Sarah willed it. They had a good reason. They had a sincere purpose. But God's children aren't born by human will. They're born by God's will. You say, are these preachers sincere? Perhaps they are. But God's children are not born of human will. They're born of God's will. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Now listen to this. Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse 9:15. Romans 9:15. I'm asking you to turn here because I want you to read. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. This thing of mercy comes by the will of God. All right, listen to this. Ishmael represents free will. Abraham's will. Sarah's will. Isaac represents the will of God. Then Ishmael represents the vast host of fleshly converts. Ishmael was born of the flesh. And he answers, he's an allegory, he's a picture of all these means and methods and coercion today in religion to populate
heaven. We're going to do it by our will.
We're going to do it by our works. And God is going to accept. God, Abraham said, Lord, let Ishmael live before you. God said, not on any terms. No way. No way. And we use our methods and means and coercions and all of this soul winning and things to get people to decide for God and come into the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you this, Isaac was born by promise. He was not only born by the will of God, but he was born according to the promise of God. God said, I will populate heaven. There will be a people like my son. Turn to John chapter 6. John the 6th chapter. And listen to this. John 6:37. John 6:37. And I want you to look carefully at this now and listen to it. John 6:37. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. God said, Abraham, you'll have a son. Isaac will be his name. And through him all nations will be blessed, and his seed shall number the stars of the heaven. Wait! I'll send Isaac. And Isaac came, and he's the one God gave him. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh out of no wise cast out. Verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is my Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but I'll raise it up again at the last day. This is my Father's will. And in John chapter 10, listen to this. John 10. Our Lord talks about his sheep, John chapter 10, verse 14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this particular fold, Jewish fold, disciples fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, and they shall be one shepherd. Turn to John 17. John 17. Listen, this is the priestly prayer of our Lord. John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him, well, he said, glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. Verse 1, chapter 17 of John. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray for them. They're my people. Ishmael represents the vast host of fleshly converts that preachers have drawn down the aisle with their methods and means and coercion and human will. And Isaac represents the sheep of Christ given him from all eternity by the gift of the Father. And they will come to him in his own time. They will. The miracle birth. This is what Paul's saying right here in Galatians 4. Ishmael represents man's works. Have you ever heard this? Well, God's done all he can do. God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. You know what to say? God wants to save. God wants to redeem. God wants a people. God wants children. But it's up to us. That's what Abraham and I and Sarah were trying to do. That's the reasoning that Sarah used on Abraham. She said, Abraham, God wants a son. God wants you to have a son. God wants you to have a people. God wants to have a seed for the heirs of heaven. And I'm dead. I can't do anything. So let's God like this. And that's the way preachers feel. God's out somewhere. He has a purpose. He has a will. He's going to populate heaven. But he can't get the job done. He's waiting on us. So we go out here and coerce and pull and beg and plead and draw people into religion. And we've just given birth to a bunch of Ishmaels. Sons of the flesh. Sons of human will. Yes, God has a people. He chose them in Christ, gave them to Christ, and in time they'll come. Leave them. Wait on God. Now, wait a minute. Abraham and Sarah still had a son. And that son wasn't virgin born. He was born of Abraham. And they used the means. They used the methods. But they used the means and the methods, and God gave the life. And I'm telling you, I use the means. I preach the gospel. There isn't a preacher in Ashland that preaches to more people than I do on Sunday morning by television, radio. That's right. I preach to people. We got missionaries all over the world preaching today in England, in Mexico, in St. Lucia, in Ireland. We support them in Africa. Preaching. Planting seed. Abraham planted seed and God gave it life in a dead womb. Huh? And I preach the seed, the word of God is the seed, and I preach the word of God, the seed, to dead ears, and God gives them life. God gives them life. God makes that seed to live in that dead heart. You say, but if you don't put some pressure on him, he'll never come. Then he'll never come, because I'm not putting pressure on him. That's what Sarah said, Abraham, if you don't do something, we ain't going to have a son. If you don't, you just got to do something, Abraham. You got to, God can't do it by himself. Oh, yes, he can. The seed is the word of God. We're born again, not of corruptible semen, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. I use the word I wanted to use. That's what that word means. And Abraham did go into Sarah, and there was a seed. But that seed could not live without God's supernatural power giving it life in that dead heart. And I'm preaching the seed of the Word of God right here and on television this morning, on radio in Cincinnati, and wherever I let me preach. And I'll tell you this, I sow the seed, and Cecil, God Almighty's got to give it life. And I'm not going to try to coerce anybody into the kingdom of God. That's where Ishmael came from. He said that right here. He said it right here. And here's the results. Look at verse 25. And this Hagar, this Mount Sinai, this works, this Ishmael, answered to Jerusalem right now, which is in bondage with her children. Paul said, listen to me now. Take a look down there. You see all those Jews? They're trying to keep the law. All those Jews. They're going about their Sabbath days. There they are. I fast, I tithe, I give alms, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not an extortioner, I'm not this, I'm not that. They're trying to find acceptance with God by their works. There they are. There they are. And he said, that's Ishmael. That's Abraham and Sarah going to use the means at their disposal, use the methods at their hand. They're going to get God a son, and they say, look here, God, here we got you an heir. I won't have him. My heirs are supernaturally born. My heirs are my son, not yours. My heirs are born by my will, not yours, by my power, not your flesh, by my works, and not your deeds, and by my miracle, not your judgment. My sons. I choose my sons and my daughters. I choose them. And he said, look at verse 26. And Jerusalem, which is above. This is not an earthly. We got all our denominations, you know, all sickening, isn't it? Headquarters for Catholics in Rome. Headquarters Church of God in Anderson, Indiana. Headquarters for the Baptists in Nashville, Tennessee. Headquarters for somebody somewhere. Our headquarters are in a glory. That's headquarters. Somebody said to me, who do you answer to? Who do I answer to? Well, don't you have a denomination? Don't you have some fellas that you answer to? Boy, I got one I answer to, all right. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And I go forth preaching his message, sowing his seed, and his sons will hear me. His sons will live. There'll be life given. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. and the mother of us all, free from the law, free from the curse of the law, free from the bondage of the law, free from do's and don'ts and touch not, taste not, handle not. Well, if you go here, you can't be saved. If you do this, you can't be saved. If you don't do this, you can't be saved. I'm not in that kind of bondage. I'm not an Ishmael. I didn't get into the kingdom of God by my will, and I don't stay there by my will. I didn't get in there by fleshly works. I don't stay there by works. I wasn't justified by works, and I'm not sanctified by works. He's my Father. He's my Father. I got a son here, and he's got a son. He's my son, and nothing can change that. He's my son, and I'm God's son, and nothing can change that. Nothing. And I don't have to work to stay a son. He doesn't have to work to stay a son. He's a son of love. And I'm a son of love. You say, nothing I do is going to change that. That's right. Good or bad. Well, preacher, you give people license to sin. No, I disagree with you. I believe love is a stronger motive than law. I believe if you love somebody, it dictates what you do a whole lot more than what you ought to do or your duty to do. I really do. I really do. And verse 27, just briefly, let me look at verse 27. He says, but now it's written, rejoice, you barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, you that travaileth not. Wait a minute, preacher, how are we going to get people saved? Well, I say we're going to have a son. Yeah, but preacher, the womb's barren. Hers was too. But she never had a child. You never did either. But she didn't have the power. We don't either. But you rejoice, we're going to have them. That's what God said. We're going to have them. Yes, sir. Well, we need to compromise. That's what Sarah and Abraham did. But he said, rejoice, the desolate, the barren, the dead shall have more children than the woman who has a husband. What's he talking about there? These Jews had the law, the prophets, the tradition. They had a human husband, but they had no children. The Gentiles had not the law, had not the prophets, had not the tabernacle, and they have a lot of them. That's right. That's what that's talking about. I tell you this, the barren, they that travail not, when God, in His mercy, sets His affections on them, oh my, that's when sons are born. But, and now verse 28, we brethren, as Isaac was, we're the children of promise. That's what we are. Brethren, every believer is a child of promise. Born of the will of God, born by the power of God, born according to the purpose of God, and born according to the promise of God. Now, wait a minute, listen. God made this promise to Abraham. You'll have a son. What promise... by what promise are we born? He made a promise to Christ from all eternity and gave Him a people. That's a promise. God knoweth them that are His. And His, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and He has this foundation, His oath and His promise. That's one you think about, wasn't it? His oath and His promise. He made an oath. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. Abraham, be faithful and wait, and God will give you a seed. But that seed is Christ. Now watch verse 29. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Ishmael was jealous of Isaac. Ishmael was about 13 or 14, and Isaac had been weaned, you know, and they had a party for Isaac. You can read about it in Genesis. Over there in Genesis 21, they had a party, and Ishmael was behind the door laughing, pointing at Isaac and laughing. And Sarah said, get rid of that boy. And Abraham went to God, and he said, Father, he said, Sarah says, get rid of Ishmael. And the father said, she's right. She's right. Get rid of him. The son of the bondwoman cannot live with the son of the free woman. The son of your works can't inherit with my son of will and purpose. Cast him out. That's what it said. Verse 30. Nevertheless, What saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. All of your laws and rules and regulations by which you seek acceptance with God, you better shuck them. Is that a good Kentucky word? Shuck them. Get rid of them. Peel the shucks off. And the son of the born woman shall not be heir with the son of the promise. Can't do it. Just can't do it. And they'll never get along. They'll never get along. They'll never walk together. They're not in agreement. Two can't walk together except they'd be in agreement. Ishmael and Isaac could not inherit together. They couldn't both be Abraham's sons and heirs in this spiritual family. Verse 31, I'll quit. So then, brethren, thank God, we're not children of the law, the regulations, the rules, our decisions. We're children of the free. We're miracle children, born of God. Now, and tonight I'm going to preach on Galatians 5. I'm going to pick this up, verse 1 through 6. The liberty of grace and the liberty of Christ. But here's what that's saying. Salvation's a miracle. Redemption's a miracle. The sons of God are born by God's will, God's purpose, and God's power. And so a vital point I brought out. Abraham and Sarah did have a son. A miracle son. A son of power and promise. But there was seed planted. That's exactly right. There was seed planted. She didn't find Isaac in the cabbage patch. She travailed. She bore that child. She carried that child. She travailed with that child. She gave birth to that child. And that child, but he was a miracle. And I say this, we're not going to shut down the church and close the Bible and go home and say, well, if God has people, he'll save them. That's ignorance. Abraham made a mistake the first time. He went in because Hagar was young and all this, they'd have a son. Human will and flesh and effort, cooperation with God. But God blesses where you don't expect. God will call whom he will, and it'll be a miraculous call. But seed has to be sown. That's why I preach. That's why you hear it.